Hello, my children. Welcome to the jungles of recovery 101 radio, where we have our elder tribesmen, the Bruce, Shelley, and the Mark, learning us about the fellowships of all the A's, most importantly, their favorites, the insanities. So join us, children, on this journey of recovery.
Thank you to Lori Faith for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAFAIR or any of them, their guys.
Or any of the anons.
Nobody. We all the opinions are our own and ours
well,
only.
I shouldn't say all of the anons. There's one anon word we can speak for.
Which one's that?
On and on and on.
On and on. Yeah, well, yes, absolutely. My name is, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with?
Shelley.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Dude.
Sweet.
Dude.
So, Shelley, how's your day?
How's your weekend?
It effing sucked.
It effing sucked.
Yes. Oh, I was supposed to do the liturgy and help with communion at church this morning.
No way.
Yeah, that didn't happen. I called the pastor at 10:30 last night to tell him what happened, and he said, okay, you're done. For the rest of the year, you and your family are done. You've had enough bad stuff. It's just no more. It's over.
So what did you guys do yesterday?
We tried to go to coffee.
We tried.
Yeah. We got to half a block from coffee.
Yeah.
Chili.
Yeah.
And what happened?
There was an accident. And my car is smushed.
Whose fault?
Not mine.
The other guy, 100%.
Yep. So.
No.
Okay, well, yeah. I know. I happened to have called Bruce last night. And I don't usually call you at night. I just happened to call you last night.
Yes.
Hey, what's up? Not much. I was just in an accident. I'm in the emergency room. I was like, whoa. Do you need anything?
Yeah.
A ride?
A new car?
Because that's the thing I remember when I was in my accident. They took us to the hospital.
Yeah.
And when we got, when they discharged us, we walked out of the hospital, walked out the front door,
and thought, hey.
Looked both ways and said, how are we getting home?
Yeah, we don't have a car.
Yeah. We have no way to get home. Yeah.
Oh, no. Mom showed up, but quick.
Yeah.
It was exciting.
Yeah. I don't want to have this weekend again. Thanks. Well done.
Okay. I have a thing for the week.
What?
If you could go on vacation anywhere you wanted, or what your favorite vacation was, where would you go?
Death Valley.
Really?
Yeah.
If you could go anywhere.
Death Valley is my favorite place on the planet.
All money and everything included.
Death Valley. In October, hopefully. Right around when the blooming happens.
I would go to Death Valley, but I think if I could go anywhere in the world, I don't think Death Valley would even make the top 50.
Okay, so where would you go?
There's so many places I would go. I would go to China.
Eh.
I would go to Italy.
Maybe.
I would go to Tahiti. I would go to Fiji. I would go to Australia.
I would go to Cancun. No. We are never going to Australia because 9 out of 10 most deadly things to mankind live in Australia. I ain't going there. Ever. No offense to people from Australia. I love Australian things. I love Australian people. But you guys have some seriously nasty animals there.
I'd go to Machu Picchu.
There's a cute little island in the British Virgin Islands that I'd highly recommend.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, if I could go anywhere, there's a lot of places I go besides.
There's a lot of anywhere out there.
The one place I would not go is here.
You wouldn't go to Covina?
No.
So what do you say?
It's bad enough I got to live here.
And you know what's funny? Many people go to Southern California for vacations. You ever notice that? Like, we'll go to places on vacation, and we're somewhere, and you know the people there are dying to go somewhere else.
Yeah, they're dying to go where you came from.
Yeah, no matter where you go. Yeah. You know, you go to Hawaii, everybody there has island fever. They can't wait to go somewhere.
Yeah. I'd like to go to Cincinnati on vacation for a very long time, like maybe a few years. I love Cincinnati. It's a beautiful
city. See, maybe it's me, but I'm thinking you're
missing
kind of
the point.
I'm thinking you're setting the bar kind of low. Yeah.
No, I just know where I want to go.
Because I'd pick a place that normally I wouldn't be able to go.
You know where else
I would
go?
Because we could go to Death Valley in an hour and a half drive.
I'd go to Fort McLeod or Lake Louise in Canada.
The hell's Fort McLeod?
Beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Fort McLeod
is
in Alberta, and it's one of the oldest RCMP whatever you want to call them, stations, forts, forts.
So you're
forts.
Talking the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Yes. Yeah. They still practice the original charge because they're mounted police. It is one of the most thrilling and terrifying things you could ever see is to watch the RCMP do an actual battle charge. That I would love to see that again.
And Lake Louise.
And Lake Louise. Lake Louise is so beautiful.
Isn't that in Banff?
Yes, Banff. Johnston Canyon, the whole area is just so beautiful. I would love to go there again.
I think of most thrilling and terrifying, I think of the dog and pony show in Mexico.
Okay, you know, I really, in my whole life, I will never need to see that. Not if you set my
thrilling
hair on fire.
And terrifying.
No. Where are you going? Oh, that island and yes, okay.
There's some guy out there going, I saw that dog and pony show. It was terrifying.
Have I had this on for 20 minutes?
No.
So where would you go, Mark? If you could go anywhere.
He just told us.
I would go to Guana, which is a little island in the British Virgin Islands.
What's it called?
Guana.
Isn't that...
like bat
isn't
poop?
Isn't Spanish for shit?
Bat poop?
Or it's the island of the iguana, and they just shortened it.
Oh, okay.
No, it could be. Are there iguanas there?
It is.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
It's not guana, it's guano.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah, guano is bat shit.
It's female bats.
Guana?
Guana, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about a 15-minute boat ride from Tortola.
Oh, so, I've heard of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right across the channel from Richard Branson's island.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Now,
we could go for dinner.
So that's also a place that would be your favorite place of places you've gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I'd go back there ahead of just about anywhere.
Now, there are a lot of places that, you know, oh, what's your dream destination? I say Death Valley. There are also places you'd like to go, like we'd like to go to Tombstone if we can possibly get there this week. I don't know that that's going to happen.
Well, like, for instance, a place that I would go again, which is not going to happen in my lifetime, but I would go to this place that I backpacked to when I was in Boy Scouts, and after Boy Scouts, I went there with one of my friends, this place called Pate Valley in the wilderness area of Yosemite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tons of waterfalls. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, a thing that nobody ever sees.
All right.
The problem is, it's like 50 miles from nowhere, so it's like, I will not be backpacking there. No. I don't think it's going to happen. And Shelly, you've got this knee immobilizer on. I don't think you'll be backpacking anywhere either.
No. Nope.
How about you? I don't need to ask you either. The favorite place that you've been is Death Valley, right?
Yes.
My son just got engaged.
Yay! What? Congratulations.
My son just got engaged.
Just now?
He just texted you?
Oh,
did you know this was going to happen?
Goodness.
I did not know this was going to happen. There's the photo.
Wow. How about that? Well, congratulations.
Oh, she's lovely.
She's a sweetheart.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
What's with the naked selfie?
Bruce,
oh, no, that's
geez.
Mark.
That's me.
From AshleyMadison.com.
Congrats.
You know, I love my husband so much. He can take any occasion and just drag it right down into the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Captain Inappropriate.
Recovery 101 Radio. Recovery should be celebrated. At my12stepstore.com, celebrate your life with the most unique gifts for all 12-step programs. My12stepstore.com carries a wide range of inspirational and program books, t-shirts, chips, medallions, 12-step jewelry, and so much more. For you or someone you love, visit My 12-Step Store in West Hollywood or shop online at my12stepstore.com. We ship to the world. My12stepstore.com, where love meets service.
Recovery 101 Radio is a program based loosely on 12-step recovery programs. The format is less like a meeting and more like going to coffee afterwards. The meeting after the meeting, as it were. We used to suffer from insanity. Now we enjoy it. Find us at recovery101.net.
You know.
Oh.
You know, right now, you're smoking a cigar that looks exactly like the cigars in Pinocchio when they were in the island of whatever the frick it was.
You know what that means.
What does that mean?
Since Shelly is wearing this...
This ought to be fun, yeah.
...thing that's going to take her forever to move.
No. I actually had to take it off so I could ice my knee.
Oh, okay. Well...
You guys do this slowly.
It's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
I'm almost there.
All right.
I'm running as fast as I can.
Well, putting weight on it is...
Now, what did you say about... Pinocchio's cigars? Is this from when they're at the Carnival Island or whatever?
I don't know.
The Circus Island or
something? Yeah, that Happy Lost Boys place or whatever the frick it was called. Adventure Island, was that what it was?
I don't know.
Treasure Island? Pleasure Island, that was it.
Pleasure Island.
Okay, so we have shout-outs to Jane, Dakota, Joey, Bill, James, Randy, Dan, Georgette, Stryker, Alexandria, Jack, Fran, Michael? I spelled that wrong. Scully, Lee, Scott, Donald, Elizabeth, Natalie, Sally, Damon, Neil, and John. This is the wrong boozy news.
Uh-oh. Oh. Well, then.
Because some of those names were not on the one... that I sent you. Nope, okay. That's you've got like 16 boozy newses on this computer
Hold
desktop
on.
Right now.
It's
like, dude.
This one.
Yes, that is it. Okay, we have shout-outs too.
We have more shout-outs
to some of the same people. We have shout-outs to Bill, John, somebody. That's the actual username, so... Dan, Alexandria, Stryker, Randy, Lisa, Natalie, Amber, Richard.
Lisa.
Yes. New listener. Richard, Jane, Fran, I was, Carol, John.
Is I was,
I am. I
am,
yes.
Okay.
They changed their username. Sally, Joey, Dakota, Georgette, Jack, and Cindy.
We have somebody.
Somebody, yes.
Who's
somebody.
Cindy.
Cindy from...
W?
Yes.
Hey, Cindy.
Okay, Bill Friday. Sent this story in.
Somebody to love.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what is he singing over there? Leon, France.
Leon?
Yes. A drug dealer who was facing trial in France. He was offered bail, like he could get out during the investigative period or whatever. His bail was $559,000 US, which is €500,000.
Okay. He did something bad.
However, when he tried to make bail, they stuck him back in jail because his... bail was in cash and his banknotes smelled like glue and they didn't like that. Apparently in France, if your banknotes smell, you can't get bail.
What?
That's racist.
So he was ordered back to jail until his trial in September. His lawyer said, well, we didn't know that we should make the payment by check and he has the cash. But no, they gave the cash back
it's
to him.
It's kind
and
of
said
amazing
no.
that the drug dealer has the cash.
Should have done a better job of washing his money.
Yeah.
Yes. In fact, they are going to be investigating him for money laundering, which I think they're not quite clear on the concept there.
I think it's clear he didn't launder his money.
Yeah, because it smells like
glue.
Smells
like glue. That'd be my defense.
Now maybe I'm missing something, and I'm sure I am. What does glue have to do with anything?
I don't know.
It sort of smelled like.
But I mean, how would you even get money that smelled like glue?
And which cops were sniffing glue that they knew what it smelled like?
That would be my next
question.
I'm filing a countersuit.
And, and you know, $500,000 worth of bills that smell like glue. How do you make that much money smell like glue?
Don't know.
I don't know either.
It's an inside job.
Okay, Bill sent this next story in, too. The first viewer, Bill, actually. Blue Hill, Maine. It is the 40th anniversary of a very interesting chemistry experiment that is still going on. In 1976, Roger Bonanni was a high school chemistry teacher, and he was instructing, he was doing a unit on food additives and shelf life and food. And the kids, you know, they were all joking about Twinkies. And one of the students proposed an experiment. Let's see how long a Twinkie will live if it's unwrapped and just sitting here
forever. Till the next
age. And how many
generations
are they into this?
Well, the Twinkie is still going strong. It now resides in a glass box in the principal's office.
Uh-huh.
It's been 40 years. That chemistry teacher has retired. And they're joking that the Smithsonian hasn't called yet, and they're not sure who will inherit the Twinkie when the principal retires. But it's still... She wouldn't eat it, but... I've cut off part of the story.
Is it still spongy?
But it's still spongy. Yes, it's not hard.
I saw...
40 years.
I saw on Facebook a thing where they poured molten bronze on a Big Mac. And it was just literally like water falling off the sides. It kind of burned the bread a little bit. But, I mean, this is why you don't eat McDonald's. Have you ever noticed... Now, and I know this has happened to you at some point. When you're a teenager or something, you're eating French fries in your car. You drop a fry.
Uh-huh.
8 months later, you find the fry. It still looks like a fry.
Yeah.
No mold, no anything.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't... There was some experiment, too, where they took like a quarter pounder and put it out on a thing, and like 6 months, 8 months later, it still looked like a quarter pounder. I mean, there was nothing had like... It hadn't turned into moldy gel or... Yeah. It's disgusting. Yeah. You know, did you do that with an In-N-Out burger?
It'll be gross in a week.
Yeah, it'll be gross quick.
If you could get McDonald's to mix with you whatever they mix into their potato stuff for French fries,
you could live
forever.
You'd
live forever.
Yeah.
I think we should start working on that. Bill sent this story in. Sonoma's in California, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Phew. I'm not real great on geography.
Right near Napa.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Well, the Sonoma Stompers, which is a minor league professional team.
Baseball.
Okay. Made history this week. They have hired, they've taken on this first time in 60 years that women have played in a mixed, you know, male-female minor league baseball team.
Right.
They hired Stacy Piagno.
There's no crying in baseball.
25-year-old pitcher. She's from Florida. She threw out the first pitch and struck out her first batter. So
good.
Kudos to her.
Have you ever seen that? I can't remember what the girl's name was, but there was some, like, college world championship softball player that, like, underhand pitched and struck out, like, five major leaguer guys in a row.
Jenny Finch.
Yeah. Yeah, like just struck him out like it was
Jenny
nothing.
Jenny Finch is exactly who it was.
Yeah.
Fran sent this next story in Punta Gorda.
Florida!
Yes. Tiffany Scurry was planning on visiting the correctional institution there.
Visiting?
And taking she what?
She's planning on visiting. She's now a resident.
Well, she visited.
She visited. She just decided to stay. She tried to smuggle a whole bunch of OxyContin pills in her weave into the prison.
In her weave?
In her weave. Oh. It's the thing in her hair. You know, they sew the
thing. Yeah,
Courtney's had them, actually. They're like extensions.
Well, at least she didn't put them in her vajayjay. Yeah.
I know. This is a first. And, you know, because it's a maximum whatever correctional institute. What is it? Maximum security. There we go. I have lost my words. My brain is not working well.
I think it's the accident.
Yeah.
Her hair would be heavy.
Yeah, it would.
That's because they noticed this girl with her head pitched to the side.
Well, it wasn't just the OxyContin. She also tried to stick 20 grams of pot in there. They do a pat-down on visitors when they go in, and they notice some weird lumps in her hair. So
they hit her hair, and it sounded like Skittles falling to the ground.
Yeah, it was a bit crunchy. And, you know, she just kind of confessed right there, well, I got drugs in my hair. So
I kind of had...
Because my conditioner wasn't working.
Yeah.
Why?
I was trying to... I put OxyContin in there to try to calm it down.
Remember the shampoo? Body on Tap?
Oh, yeah. It had beer in it.
Yep. It had beer in it.
Yep.
Fran also sent this story in. It's a sad story.
Here's my story. Sad but true.
True, yes. Pat Summit.
Yes.
And the Lady Vols. Lady Volunteers at the University of Tennessee.
Yes.
She was a powerhouse coach.
She was.
She started coaching there at the age of 22. She had a couple players that were older than she was.
She was. She was one of the driving forces in Title IX.
Yes. She started in 1974.
I should probably know who this is.
Yeah, you probably should. Because even I don't follow. But I don't follow.
Sports.
Except for baseball sometimes.
So women's college basketball would really, be on your list. Yeah.
And I knew who she was. Yeah. She's passed away. She was 64 years old. She died of Alzheimer's.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Young, too.
She announced several years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, that she had been diagnosed with early onset dementia, Alzheimer's.
Yeah. That sucks.
She actually coached one or two more years after she was diagnosed with it. So.
Yeah, she coached for 38 years. She won 8 national titles and 1,098 games, which is more than any other coach in Division I basketball, male or female, in any team.
Wow.
She was fantastic.
Well, rest in peace.
Requiem in pace. Oh, and our lovely friend Mark, sitting right here, sent this story in. With the email said, I give up. And then the story was attached. Chapel Hill, University North Carolina.
Yeah.
University of North Carolina. Posted guidelines for employees that included things like don't compliment someone's shoes. Don't say the words Christmas vacation. Don't schedule staff golf outings. Don't ask a coworker to stand and be recognized. And don't list only male and female genders in a scholarly work.
What the F?
Yeah.
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 Well, they later took the post down claiming that it wasn't actually real guidelines, but it was on their page.
Yeah.
Because they said that these things were
sounds termed, like something you'd read on theonion.com.
Well, they were originally, they said that these things were could be termed microaggression, sexist microaggression.
Yeah. Even that is it, you know, sex, what?
Well, in the case of the shoe thing.
Microaggression.
Yeah. Hey, cool shoes.
Yeah. You're not allowed to say that because if you tell a female coworker that, then you are, what you're telling them is, and I'm quoting here, you're noticing how they look and dress more than you value their intellectual contribution.
Oh, because, you know, women get really upset if you compliment their choice of shoes, that they spent, you know, 20 minutes making sure they have the ones that match the outfit they're wearing.
No, I understand. I think you have an excellent mind. How about some head? I understand that being a problem. I get that, but nice shoes?
Yeah. You know what? There was a time when I worked at Earthlink, and I was at the Starbucks in the morning, and this woman walked in who was not a young woman. I mean, I was probably, I don't know, I was in my, like, I was like maybe 40 or late 30s or something. And she walked in, and she was probably 70 years old. And she's wearing a miniskirt, and, or not, well, not a miniskirt, but a fairly short skirt and heels, and she had great legs.
Yeah.
And I looked at this gal, and I said, I don't want you to think I'm trying to pick up on you or anything because, you know, I'm married and everything, but I got to tell you, you got great gams. And this girl, this woman was sitting there and she goes, oh, thank, and I'm thinking for the rest of the day, it probably made her day. And I mean, she wasn't like reactive to that in a bad way at all. Mm-hmm. But I mean, She had great legs, and she was like 70 years old, and she had like Betty Grable legs. I mean, it was like really something.
Nothing wrong with that.
My favorite one of this is that you should not schedule public golf outings because golf is and I'm quoting the article here, an expensive and inaccessible sport for most of the population, and you may be causing your coworkers heartache over classicism.
Unless you're in Scotland where everybody golfs.
Okay. I tried to learn how to golf when I was, well, I was pregnant with Connor, so I was 24, 25. We just had a beat up set of golf clubs that Craig got at some thrift shop, and we went to the park or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like we spent a lot of money on this.
I am a fantastic golfer, but I can never get it in the clown's mouth for the free game
at
the end.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, that stinks.
Yeah.
I went to a driving range one time, and, you know, I don't know how to swing a club even, you know. I mean, I was swinging it, but the only thing we were trying to do is hit the guy in the ball collecting tractor thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I found this story that I thought this was hilarious. While you and I were engaged in discussions with people in the emergency room, this was happening. There is apparently in Finland something called the World Wife Carrying Championships. 50 couples from 12 countries. These 12 countries also have, you know, entry-level competitions because you've got to be weeded out. And the placers, like first, second, third placers or whatever, from these countries go to Finland to participate in the World Wife Carrying Championships.
These are big guys with petite wives, right?
No, I saw the pictures. Some of them look pretty much comparable sizes. The winner of this World Wife Carrying Championship gets free beer equivalent to his wife's weight.
Oh, wow.
Well,
so there's the one guy
heavy
there, and his wife is quite large. And he's like, I could do it.
But I just thought about the fact that people train for this. I saw the pictures. These are athletes. They train for this, and they go to the semifinals in wife carrying.
So
this is a thing.
Is it safe to say that most of these guys are alcoholics? Because if the award is as much beer as your wife weighs, it's hard to get worked up about that unless you're an alcoholic, and then I totally get it.
What is that, 15, 20 gallons of beer?
Hey, you know what? I was watching.
Yeah, gallon weighs like, what, 5 pounds?
8 pounds.
8 pounds.
Yeah. You know, like sometimes if you go on YouTube, you can be watching any video, and then they have like suggested videos on the side, and that's how you start getting into the weird
areas
of YouTube.
That's how you get in the rabbit hole.
So one time I'm probably watching fail videos or something. I look over to the side and I see this thing, and it's the guy who won the World Air Guitar Championships. And I'm like, "What?" And there is an actual, like, there's like an American Air Guitar Association, and there's like a Canadian Air Guitar Association. There's all these things. Yeah. So I watched the winner. I'm like, "I would have smoked that guy."
Yeah.
I was a 3-time defending champion of Willamette University. I'm like, "I would have smoked that guy." And I got to tell you, it almost makes me want to try it. I just missed it for this year. And they had, like, the local championships were, like, at
air guitar festivals.
What's the place that River Phoenix died out in front of?
Viper Room.
The Viper Room. They had like, the local Southern California championships there.
Oh. As soon as he's done.
Oh, you're done? Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Hi, guys. Bruce from Recovery 101 Radio. My 12-step store is a recovery book and gift store located in the heart of West Hollywood, California, and ships worldwide. Covering all forms of addiction, we specialize in the most unique gifts for yourself or a loved one. Complete with gift wrap options and greeting card enclosures with a variety of shipping options. Celebrating 13 years of service, we strive to celebrate the life journey in recovery, offering you new, edgy, and fun gifts. Here's where you'll find the largest collection and splashiest medallions, racy clothing, 12-step jewelry, prayer bookmarks, unique gifts, inspirational recovery cards, and more. We have 12-step gifts for everyone. We have a large recovering celebrity crowd that knows that my 12-step store is the place to go for the best recovery gifts and swag. Open every day at 10 a.m., offering friendly customer service and phone orders. We donate a percentage of sales to recovery rehab, providing scholarships and sponsorships. We partner with many national recovery organizations advancing the journey of recovery. Find us by our You Are Not Alone store sign lit 24 hours a day. You can find us online at www.my12stepstore.com and join us in person at 8730 Santa Monica Boulevard in the beautiful city of West Hollywood, California, 90069. 310-623-1702. One more time, that's 310-623-1702. My 12-Step Store.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We are back. We took a break for
a moment.
Homemade tiramisu.
Yep.
Give us quickly before we get into the topic, give us the story of that.
My cousin is out visiting from South Carolina, and she is a baker by trade and profession and training.
A hell of a baker.
So my sister asked her to make dessert for tonight, and she made... So when she started brewing the espresso on Friday for dessert on Sunday, I had an idea. We were in for something special.
Oh, yeah.
So she made authentic tiramisu.
Old school tiramisu. It's very good.
Not tiramisu with
made
the
with Kahlua,
weak
the fast
way they do it where they throw Kahlua into it.
This was...
Although I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like, oh, yeah, I love Kahlua tiramisu because, well, because there's a bunch of Kahlua in it.
The funny thing is, like, you know, there are a lot of foods that when you cook with alcohol, it unlocks flavor compounds, blah, blah, blah. My whole life, the tiramisu... For some reason, the tiramisu that's made with Kahlua never tastes as rich as the stuff, the old-fashioned stuff where they soak it in the espresso for days. It just doesn't. I don't know. You know, there's a difference.
Well, because I think tiramisu is intended to be done with espresso, so the other one is like a shortcut.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's Kahlua pie.
I don't think it's done to make it. Although I'm sure there's people that love it because it's got that Kahlua flavor. Because when I was drinking. Kahlua and cream, I love that. Kahlua and cream and vodka, white Russian.
You know, I had that one time, and I wasn't that impressed.
I really liked it. And its funny thing is, I don't like any other kind of coffee-flavored anything. Mm-hmm. I don't like coffee-flavored ice cream.
I do.
You know.
Mud pie.
No, I don't know. So, Shelley, we have a topic.
We do. And we're doomed.
We are.
So why do you say that?
We are.
Well, there's a lot of different aspects to this topic. Mark has some aspects. I have some. You know, I was thinking about it the other day that you get... There are a lot of people that are in recovery, but the 12-step type fellowships didn't necessarily work for them. They're in recovery. They just use other methods or other programs. You know, there's a lot of other alternatives out there. But if you hear... If you hear it from some of the older
old-timers,
members of
the dinosaurs, the bleeding deacons,
of AACANA, if you skip meetings, you're doomed. You're going to relapse no matter what. Like, it's a guarantee, and that's not necessarily true. For some people, it is.
It's absolutely not true.
Yeah, for some people it is, but for some people it's not. And, you know, I mean, I actually had a sponsee for whom that was absolutely not true. And, you know, I saw her 3 years later. She was married, pregnant, didn't drink. Yeah. She just, the 12-step fellowship just wasn't her thing.
In all fairness, she was kind of like a sort of possibly potential alcoholic. She only drank like twice or something like that.
Four times.
Okay. Of course, one of them was she was stripping down naked in the parking lot of the local Alano Club. And she was a fairly good-looking girl. I'm sure she was attracting quite a lot of attention. I got 90 days.
She attracted attention until...
Bam.
I showed up, grabbed her by the shoulders, gave the evil stare at all of the people in the parking lot staring at her.
Oh, come on.
And ushered her into the small room and into the bathroom.
Come on. Yeah, look. I got to tell you, if I'm standing in a lotto club and a chick starts running around the parking lot taking off her clothes, I'm for sure going to look.
Yeah.
Shelly?
Yeah.
You would look. Hence why you knew to go grab her and take her in somewhere.
Yeah, I would look and say, ah, shisa, we got to got to get her out of the public
Another one
view.
Of my sponsees are stripping naked, running through a parking lot. I hate when this keeps happening.
Yes, fabulous story, but, you know.
Well, there's only one answer to that. Sponsor more girls.
Well, and there are, you know, and there are other people that are in the 12-step fellowship that they're staying sober, but it's not, they're not being fulfilled spiritually, so they try another method, and it works better for them. Their lives get better, and then they get better when they try something different. And I think it does people a disservice to make this blanket statement that if you stop going to meetings, you're going to get loaded.
So this also,
I think it's very autocratic, and I don't think it helps anybody.
So this also fringes on the topic of alternative methods of staying sober.
Yeah, that Mark proposed.
Right. Now, Mark, you had a... had happened upon a book.
I happened upon an interview done with an author that wrote a book called Unbroken Brain. Her name is Maya Solovitz. And, you know, and she writes a book about understanding addiction and, you know, and basically has alternative thoughts from the ideas you would hear in the 12-step programs.
Right.
We were having a discussion this evening when I was at dinner because my sister was there who's in the program and my friend Joe was there who's got 28 years. And so we were having this discussion about the interview and about the things she had to say. And we agreed with most of what she had to say. I didn't see anything wrong with what she had to say.
And give us the gist.
Well, the gist of it is, first off, that the gist of it is most of us develop our addictions in our late teens and 20s.
Formative years.
And perhaps we end up getting addicted because we're using drugs that during our formative years we don't have the mental capability of staving off the using because we have our brain pans basically busy enough with becoming adults.
Right.
And that also because we're using the drugs during that time, there's a lot of things we don't learn that normally you would learn during those formative years.
Right.
And I agree with that. I think that's absolutely correct.
Although there's lots of people, like we've seen in program too, like you'll get people that they never touched anything until they were in their 30s. But that's probably more the exception than the rule. Because I started... Yeah. At 12,
and then she talks about
really actively at about 14, 15.
And then she talks about the 12-step programs, saying that it makes no sense that you go into a program that says we basically help treat each other, one addict helping another.
Right.
She says that's like going, finding out you have cancer and going to someone and having them treat your cancer when they're only... experiences they had cancer.
Oh,
you would probably rather go to a doctor.
But
I agree with that.
Although the book would say that it even talks about it where it says, you know, it's good to work with other alcoholics because other people that aren't addicts don't have a clue.
Well, that's great, but
that'd be like
having a cancer support group. But not actually having those people be the ones treating your cancer.
Yeah, but you've also got a medical issue versus a largely mental issue.
Well, they say it's a disease.
Yeah, I know. They say it's a you know, the physical allergy.
Somebody's here.
The physical allergy.
Dogs have gone crazy. Yeah.
But I don't know. I might throw up some roadblocks on that.
Yep. Because the door just opened. Somebody's here.
Yeah, somebody's here. The dogs have gone crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. So we always hear about the alternative things. Like, you know, I've been known to say on this show before, whatever you do to stay sober is what you should do to stay sober. So if you get sober in church, get sober in church. If you know, program's not working for you in a certain way. I mean, I've always said that if watching the Angels play baseball keeps you sober, then you should TiVo all the games and you should watch them all the time.
Yeah.
You know, some people get it in church, some people get it in AA, some people get it in rational recovery, some people get it in, you know, And we see it often in the programs, people that really aren't getting it in AA, and then they go to a different program, and that really strikes a chord with them. There's people that get it by just quitting.
Yeah.
My mother did that, really pissed me off. She just one day said, I'm not going to drink anymore, and she just quit. Now, clearly, we know that necessarily stopping going to meetings doesn't ensure that someone's doomed. Mark did that for quite a while.
Minute.
We know other people. My own sponsor, Roger, did that for quite a while, which, by the way, I even forgot to bring this up. But my sponsor passed away.
I was going to bring it up on the next show, but
and we should probably talk about that.
Yeah.
But there's a number of people that have done that. There's lots of. I'm sure there's tons of people that quit going to meetings that may have done. Like we know a gal who became like a long distance runner. I don't even know if she goes to meetings anymore, but she has a thing that she's staying sober. She's gotten into this physically fit lifestyle. On Instagram, we have 1 million followers that are like these fit gurus that I'm not thinking they're doing a lot of meetings anymore, but they have developed something else that has become the primary purpose of their life. Yeah. And it's almost like, I don't have time to get loaded anymore.
I do between 1 and 2 meetings a week, you know.
Plus this.
Plus this, yeah.
Which, of course.
Which is better than a meeting.
Yeah, well,
so
you know.
Yeah, if you needed a meeting, you would just listen here. So.
No, this is not a meeting. And if you need a meeting, you should go to a meeting.
Well, yeah, that's good to say now that we're most of the way through the show.
That's right. This is when people listen.
Yeah.
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 So.
So, Shelley, what do you think?
I think I'm actually texting somebody about retrieving my house keys from my smashed up car.
No.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
And whatnot. The coping mechanism, learning the coping mechanism thing, it applies to, I think that does apply to a lot of people. But for me, I was an adult when my first binge happened.
Right.
So for me, and I think that a lot of people in recovery are also like this, you know, her thing is called the unbroken brain, but we had broken brains going into it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I had psychiatric issues, and my coping methods were, you know, things like self-injury, and, you know, I would sit and isolate and drink coffee and smoke cigarettes for hours at a time, and then later on it became drinking. And
you'd occasionally read a book.
Okay, that is not, that is just something people do as a normal part of life.
But that wasn't a coping mechanism for you?
Well, yeah, especially when I was little. And my mother could never... Oh, this drove my mom crazy. She could never ground me. Because she'd say, you're grounded. And I'd be like, yay! And I'd run off to my room to read because I'd be locked in my room. You know,
right.
I mean, couldn't leave my room. For me, that wasn't a punishment.
Yeah.
She didn't catch on until, like, I was 16. She realized, get out of your room and go out in the backyard and do yard work.
Yeah. I mean, she even... One of the things she brought up that I agree with a lot... is the fact that we talk about if you put any mind-altering substances into your body, that you're not considered to be clean and sober, and especially in 12-step programs other than AA, which say, you know, like CA, cocaine and all mind-altering substances and all those things. But yet somebody who sits and blows through a pack and a half of cigarettes and drinks 5 cups of coffee is considered to be clean and sober.
Yes, that's true.
So you're putting things that may be less healthy for your body into it, but yet we're cool with that.
Pretty much.
And
yeah,
I agree with that.
And you know what? And sometimes you got to wonder what the... Because there would certainly be a level of mind alteration.
Yeah.
You know, like, for instance, for me, I used to hear people, they'd say, oh, I smoked to calm down. I never really understood that. Because I used to smoke cigarettes and I smoked cigars. And I never really, I could understand maybe more with the having a cigar, but I'm not even sure if I really understand that concept.
I get it.
Because I get it after you're addicted and then you're going to smoke because if you don't, you're going to freak out you don't have a cigarette.
Well, no. Deb, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. It's just smoking to calm down when you're agitated, if you're a smoker, it's not necessarily that if you don't have one, you're going to flip out. What it is it's my, it was, well, it is my way of taking a step back and sitting for a minute. And it gives me something to sit with for, that's my time out. I'm putting myself in time out.
Right.
And that's why it calms us down, is because, okay, I can't handle this right now. I'm too freaked out. I need to calm down. So you sit and you smoke a cigarette. When the cigarette's over, then you've had a few minutes just to sit there, let your brain run for a few minutes, and you're calmer.
I'm not sure why that's any different than sitting down and having a Coke or a glass of milk or something.
Or smoking a joint.
It's not any different, but that's just the way we learn to do it.
Yeah.
I think a dude might have a slightly more mental
it'll
manipulation.
It'll calm you down.
Oh, no. Yeah, it'll calm you down, all right.
Yeah.
So what were you going to say? I'm sorry. You've forgotten now, haven't you?
No. Debbie, I mean, she smokes probably 1.5 cigarettes a day.
1.5?
Yeah. She'll smoke 3 halves of cigarettes over the course of a day. And, you know, and she'll go out to have one in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
But if something happens that she gets upset about, she'll go outside and smoke half a cigarette. And, yeah, and it's just taking a step back and taking a minute not to have a raging nana.
It's a raving nana.
Whatever. Hers are raging.
No, but what I'm thinking
yours
is,
are raving.
I get that. Let me take time out for a minute.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could take, I mean, there's a lot of things you could do to take time out for a minute. There's, you know, you could go have a piece of tiramisu for a minute.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I know.
I'm just not.
Yeah. Well, when we're also talking about alternatives, though, you know, we have a group, Rebellion Dogs, friends of the show.
Yeah.
And I wish I could remember the name of the website. But they are in a group of people who, they follow the 12-step fellowship loosely, I think. They're agnostic. They're all agnostic.
Right.
And they've sort of banded together because they have a way of dealing with recovery that works for them.
Right.
But it doesn't have anything to do with the higher power that we use.
Right.
And they have a book. And now I can't remember the name of the book.
You're being no help whatsoever, then.
I know. It's horrible. But I'm sure...
I think it's the accident.
We're going to just blame everything on that?
I'm building a case here.
Okay. well, we could get Rebellion Dogs. They are a friend of the show. Get them to comment in the comment section. You know, post a link to your site for us. Because that's also a viable opportunity for a lot of people that have issues with the God thing.
Well, sure. True. True. Now... There's also the groups within other groups. Like Mark had talked about, you know, there's groups that say no mind-altering chemicals. Then you have the kind of group within the group, NA, that are like the NA purists, you know. And those guys are like, it's all NA. It's nothing but NA. If you don't do NA, then you're not doing it right.
You're doomed.
And there's the ones that say, you know, no cigarettes, no... caffeine, no this, no that, and
so one cure fixes all the diseases.
And you know the thing is, and the thing is, when you get into the, there would be ones even in that group that seem to be okay with like getting off heroin, doing Suboxone, and Suboxone is like
tougher to get off.
Nobody's really clean who's on Suboxone, you know, but it's like. So you're telling us to get off every kind of drug there is, and then you're going to give us a drug to get off the drugs. And, you know, it's kind of like the methadone thing, you know.
Methadone takes forever to step down off.
You know, when I was at Impact House, they had everyone kick cold turkey, you know, because these guys would be hating life for 5 days, and then everything would be good. You get on methadone, and you start kicking that, and you're hating life for 1.5 years, you know, trying to get off it. Now, what do you think about when we talk about doomed, you know, and back to, you know, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, if you don't do, it's kind of like one of those things where just because someone says you're doomed if you don't do this doesn't really mean you're doomed. Just like if someone says, you know what, you'll be successful if you do this and this. And not always. And it even depends on what people are talking about.
This interview that I read with this woman who wrote this book, and other people have come up with other things that work for them that I agree with. I agree with that we are not the only way.
Right, clearly. Right.
And I agree with the things that other people have talked about of the ways they have to deal with their addictions.
Right.
But the one I'm doing is the one that works for me.
Right. Right.
I don't need to go look for another one. This one works.
Right.
You know, because I've had somebody say to me all the time, well, why don't you just go do that then? Because this one's working fine. Thank you.
Right. And if it's not, and something else does, then that's what you should do.
Yeah. You know, you should do AA. You should do CA. You should do church. You should do, you know,
whichever one works.
Long distance running. You should do hiking. You should do working out. You should do them all. And whichever one works the best for you, go for it. That's yours.
Right.
At the heart of all of this is just my opinion. Uh-huh. I'm not a professional, clearly. Clearly.
You play one on the radio.
I play one on the radio, yeah.
Jinx, you owe me a Diet Pepsi.
I think that at the heart of all recovery, regardless of what method anybody is using, uh-huh. is that it is a process of redirection.
Yeah.
In the 12-step fellowship, we redirect all of this to our higher power.
Yeah.
People that do the long distance running, they redirect all of that phenomenon of craving that desire into running.
They crave more running.
Right. You could call it switching addictions, but I don't know that that's necessarily true. You know, people that do celebrate recovery, they've redirected it into that. It's just a process of changing what you're focused on, focus change.
What if we're cross-addicted to the program and eventually we'll have to wean ourselves off that?
Party. I'm going to party.
Well, you know, I think what you guys are talking about comes down to there used to be a commercial for the Schick Center or something like that. And it was like you fall into a river and the river is you're floating along the river and you grab a hold of this rock and you're just getting the crap beat out of you by the rock, right? And the reason you continue to get the crap beat out of you by the rock is because you're scared to let go of the rock. And what they used to say is that you, I just totally lost my train of thought.
It's the accident.
Talk amongst yourselves for a second.
Well, you know, in the EST training, which I did, by the way, in the early 80s.
I forgot what that stands for.
I got it.
I can't remember either.
Extrasensory training.
Extrasensory
like
training. Yeah, Werner Erhard. Yeah, the whole.
Yes.
It was the one that went up against Scientology to see who could create something that would get the most followers.
Yes.
Yeah. L. Ron Hubbard kicked his ass. they actually talked about the fact that, you know, people get into a rapids and raging rivers and they get beat up by the rocks.
Yeah.
And the reason they get beat up by the rocks is they keep trying to avoid the rocks. And they say, if you ever watch the water never gets beat up by the rocks. It just goes around them.
Right. Well, in this Schick commercial, now I remember what it was. Yeah. At the end of it, it would say, you only have to change one thing, which is everything. And if your focus, like what happens in AA and NA, you know what they tell you? Go to meetings every day, do this. You're really completely changing everything you do to be programmed. And if your thing is physical fitness and you are, you know, getting up early in the morning and you're running and you're eating well and you're doing this and you're doing this, you have completely, you know, when you take someone that used to get up in the morning and get loaded and spend all day trying to figure out how to get loaded and get loaded and get loaded, if you get up in the morning and you go running and you eat well and you do that, you are completely changing everything about your life.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say there's anything wrong with that because there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Shelly?
I'm texting the key lady.
Oh.
The key lady.
The key lady. The Keela.
So, I would say, and I agree with a lot of the things that that woman was saying as well. I'm sure that if, you know.
But it annoys the hell out of me when I go into meetings and I hear the purists that our way is the only way and anything else you try, you are destined for doom.
Yeah, no, that's it's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous because, you know, there's just so many avenues, yeah. You know. And like you said, just like is same for me. 12-step is what worked for me.
Yeah.
You know, when I was real young, I went with my friend Teddy, and we went to Campus Life, and we're all going to be saved, and it's going to fix everything in our lives, and that didn't really work for me.
That's right.
And
after you've learned the four verses of Kumbaya, there's nothing left to do.
There are four verses of Kumbaya?
Sure, why not?
I thought there was only one.
No. See? You didn't get it.
So then, Shelley,
yes.
What would your final words on doomed be?
We're not doomed.
We are not doomed.
It's not a tumor.
Whatever you're doing, if it's working, don't let anybody tell you it's not working.
Mark?
I won't use the one you're going to use, so I will just say that, you know.
I'm not going to use it.
Then I will.
Go ahead.
If you like what you're getting.
Keep doing what you're doing.
If you don't, do something else.
I was going to say something that I just reiterate something I said before. You know what? AA and ACA, not the only way. Just the way that worked for me. Shelley.
Yes?
We have friends back east in the Inland Empire.
You can go to 12stepgazette.com and 12 Step Magazine. No, Step 12 Magazine.
Yes.
.com. To read those publications, and you can subscribe, and you can probably get them to send you some copies to leave at the facility of your choice. So go and do that.
Cool. Mark.
What?
How about our new sponsor?
My12stepstore.com?
Yes.
Go check them out. You can get anything.
And
just
everything.
Just about and everything. 12-step based. It is a tchotchke paradise.
Great gift store.
Great gift store.
I mean, yep. I have perused the website, and I know there's listeners that have been buying stuff off the website, and you could spend a long time just looking for the right medallion because there is so many
of a bazillion
different types of medallions.
Yep.
I mean, you can buy, this is absolutely true, you can buy a 14-karat solid gold medallion. Yep. If you wanted to. It's like, you know.
$1,000.
Yeah, no, it's more than that. It's like $1,500 or $1,600 or something. Yeah. But you can get sterling silver medallions. You can get silver-plated medallions. You can get bling medallions. I mean, there's like a bazillion kinds of medallions. You could probably go to that site and look for half an hour at different types of medallions. So if you're looking for that perfect medallion for a gift, I guarantee
You'll find it.
Like every single type of medallion you could possibly look for, and ones you would never knew existed.
Yep. All right.
Shelley?
What?
People listen to the show.
Still?
I think so.
Awesome. Any way that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, that's awesome because you've just been counted and that helps us with our demographics.
It does.
If you are not a member, you will have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
You can leave comments and topic suggestions. You can like old shows. You can add us to your playlist for all your party needs. And you can follow, and that will get you automatic updates of when we post the shows.
If you are Facebook friendly, as you know, as Shelley just said, it's real easy to join Podomatic. But if you'd like to like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, we also post the show up there and in a number of recovering groups on Facebook. If you would like to be secretive about your recovery so that, you know, your friends and family, like they don't know already that you have a problem, but, you know, you want to hide it from your boss or something, you can like the Recovery 101 or become a member of the Recovery 101 secret group. You will not be able to find that, hence the name Secret Group. But if you message Bill Piper or Shelley Burnett or Bruce Burnett, or you send us a message on the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, or even the Terminally Unique Clothing page on Facebook, we can get you into that group, no problem. We have
somebody,
email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you can send topics and things to that, although we'd kind of prefer you do it as a member of Podomatic, but, you know, whatever works for you. You can also, if you are...
Ignore the other websites that are, or the other email addresses that are listed.
Yeah. If you are in a sober band, or you're a sober performer or a sober comedian or something, you'd like us to use your material as lead out for the show, we will do that for free and for fun. Send us, you know, two or three MP3s. Send us a clickable link. We'll make a clickable link. So send us a picture and then the link that you want that to go to, whether it's your Facebook page or your YouTube page or somewhere where you sell your stuff. We will be more than happy to do that. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Yeah, like we do, you know. Shelly, who is the lead out music by?
Electra.
Electra. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Wanna get it on, but I'm too far gone. You know that I can't show it. No one knows it. So I'm dreaming on. I stand my ground. I'm tied and bound, and I'll fight the madness from dusk to dawn. Now it leaks like a faucet. I'm all fit, let's drop it. I'm added in love and lost and busted my profit. Better to never have love than love and lost. Remember to be clever, consider the cost. Exhausted, I think that I've lost it. You trigger my emotion, now it leaks like a faucet.